Chapter 7. The rest of the day was uneventful and not very profitable, even though they did manage to get a handful of customers. Lexi immersed herself in perfecting the scone recipe, and by the time the day ended, she was more than ready to get out of the kitchen. She'd made plans with Jack to meet at his house. There was still a lot of work to do before they could put it up for sale. So she grabbed some frosted brownies from the case and aimed her car toward the burger barn to pick up takeout before heading home. Parking at her own house, she ran inside, her heart flooding with warmth at Sprinkle's enthusiastic greeting, which she wasn't exactly sure was for her or the white takeout bag full of burgers and fries. "Hi, Sprinkles." Lexi put the box of brownies and takeout bag on the counter and then bent down and ruffled the dog behind her ears while trying to dodge the pink tongue that insisted on licking Lexi's face. "We're going to go over to Jack's and eat, okay?" Sprinkles spun in circles and then ran to the back door. Lexi picked the white bag off the counter, opened the door, and stepped out onto her frosty patio. Then made her way across her backyard, through the fence, and across Jack's backyard to his kitchen door. Lexi gave a quick tap on the window and opened the door. The kitchen was empty, but the basement door stood ajar, and Lexi could see the lights were on downstairs. "Hello?" Lexi yelled down.
"Down here,"
Jack's voice answered from below. Sprinkles let out a yelp, then bounded down the stairs. Lexi put the takeout bag on the counter and followed. Jack's house was small, and even though the basement ran the whole length of the house, it seemed smaller because of all the boxes, old furniture, and piles of junk that were crammed into every inch of space. The low ceiling made it seem even smaller. A few bare bulbs had been placed in white ceramic sockets that hung from the ceiling to provide light that added to the cave-like feel. Lexi's lungs itched as she breathed in mildew, dust, and cobwebs. Jack stood in the middle of a pile of boxes, his shirt smudged with dirt. Sprinkles was busy sniffing around his feet. "How on earth did you amass this much stuff?" Lexi gestured toward the towering piles. "You've only been living here for 7 years." Jack puffed out his cheeks.
"Actually, most of it is from the previous owners. It was all here when I moved in."
Lexi picked her way toward him. "I remember Nan said they lived here since it was built in 1940.
"Yeah, they were a sweet old couple," Jack said. "They were going to senior living and didn't know what to do with all this stuff, so I told them just to leave it. Figured maybe I'd have a use for some of it someday."
Lexi peeked inside a box loaded with vintage turquoise kitchenware. "Geez, it's like a time capsule from the 1950s in here."
"Yeah, they saved everything."
Jack stepped sideways and motioned to several piles of newspapers and magazines.
"Sheesh."
Lexi bent over to examine one of the piles. "Hey, these are local papers from the 1940s. I wonder if they have the papers from 1948.
"Feel free to take a look."
Jack gestured to the pile before turning his attention back to the old tools he had been unpacking from a box. Lexi squatted and flipped through the yellowed newspapers. Some of the pages were brittle and the edges flaked off in her fingers. The piles were stacked in chronological order, so it didn't take long for her to find the ones from 1948. She pulled them out of the stack. "Can I take these for Nan's?" Jack looked up at her. His right brow rose a fraction of an inch.
"For Nan's? What is she up to now?"
"The ladies are doing some historical society project for the bicentennial, and it has something to do with some big robbery that happened in 1948. Jack shrugged.
"Take whatever you want. It's all gotta go somewhere."
Lexi set the papers aside and wiped her dirty hands on her jeans.
Looking around the basement at all the junk they had to go through made her feel overwhelmed. She needed food. "Let's take a break and eat," she suggested. "I brought takeout from the burger barn, and it's getting cold on your counter."
"Sounds good," Jack smiled at her. "But first, I think you look a little too clean."
She squealed as he reached over to pull her close, his hands leaving dirty handprints on the sleeves of her shirt. He smudged his finger on her nose, then his warm lips descended on hers, almost making her forget they were in the dirty, dingy, spider-filled basement. Until something rubbed against her leg. Lexi screeched and jumped back. Looking down, expecting to find a giant spider, she breathed a sigh of relief to see it was only Sprinkles. Jack laughed, then bent down to pet the dog.
"Come on, you two. Let's go eat."
The three of them went up the stairs. Lexi pulled plates, glasses, and silverware out of the cabinets and drawers, then plopped a burger on each plate and set them on the table. Taking the fries out of the bag, she divvied them up between the plates and gave one teensy piece to an overjoyed Sprinkles. Jack poured milk into the glasses, and they settled down at the old Formica kitchen table.
"Did you find out anything more about the break-in at the bakery?"
Jack asked as he lifted the burger to his mouth. "You won't believe this." Lexi poured ketchup on her burger. "Davies brought the ring over to Kara Lee, and she admitted it was hers, but said it had been stolen."
"Kara Lee is the lady that owns the other bakery?"
Jack asked. "Yes. She said she had an alibi for last night, and actually had the nerve to accuse me of stealing the ring from her, then faking the break-in and planting the ring."
"Seriously? What did she think your motivation for doing that would be?"
"Beats me." Lexi bit into the burger and then licked the ketchup that had oozed out of the side from her lip and started chewing.
"Did you get the door fixed?"
Lexi nodded, still chewing.
"And you didn't find anything missing?"
Lexi swallowed the bite of burger and went for a French fry. "Nope. The only thing I found was someone had messed with the cookbooks and recipes, but I don't think they took any of those either."
"Why do you think someone would do that?" Jack asked.
"I have no idea. The only thing I can figure is Kara Lee wanted my scone recipe so she could make a batch and try to win the contest."
"You seem pretty sure it was this Kara Lee person."
Lexi felt a stab of panic. She couldn't tell Jack why she felt sure it was Kara Lee, because she couldn't tell him about the conversation she'd heard out by the dumpster. Not only would he frown on her dumpster diving activities, but even worse, he'd know she'd lied to him about going out to dinner with Cassie, and she didn't want him to lose trust in her. "Well, I can't think of anyone else, and her ring was there." Lexi shrugged, then changed the subject. "Nans and the ladies wanted me to ask if you guys found out any more about the skull they dug up in the sewer."
"We didn't find anything," Jack said. "Those old sewer tunnels are a mess. Big sections have caved in and blocked off the entire tunnel. It's dangerous down there, which is why they are putting in new tunnels and blocking off the old ones. Those old tunnels could flood at any time, and half the concrete would go with it."
"So that's it? You're not going to do any more investigating down there?" Jack drained his glass of milk.
"Nope. It's an old, cold case, and no one really cares about it, especially since we have so many current matters that need attention. Plus, this whole bicentennial celebration is taking up a lot of our time. Which reminds me, I have to work the evening before and morning of the bicentennial. We're so short-handed, even we detectives have to pull a detail. But I'll be there in the afternoon to see you win a blue ribbon for your scones."
Lexi's heart swelled at his confidence in her as he cleared the empty dishes from the table, taking them to the trash and scraping before loading into the dishwasher. He turned to look at Lexi.
I hope you and Nans don't have some harebrained idea about going down into the sewers to investigate the mystery of the skull, he said. It's very dangerous down there. And once they're done, most of the old exits will be sealed off. Those old tunnels could fill up with water, and you could be trapped in there. Lexi could see genuine concern on Jack's face, but she felt her back stiffen. She hated anyone telling her what to do. Still, he did have a point. So, just where are the remaining entrances? Lexi asked innocently.
When they're done, the only manhole cover will be in the town center. But you can't open it, so don't get any ideas. It's too heavy. You need a special tool.
Wait, I thought you said there were other entrances.
There's supposed to be a few under the downtown area, but no one seems to know exactly where they are. The old records aren't that great, Jack said. Then again, we didn't look too hard. And you shouldn't either.
Of course not, Lexi said, to appease Jack.
That's my girl, Jack said.
Lexi smiled. Better to keep the peace now. She was pretty sure she was going to do exactly as she pleased later on. Feeling a change of subject was in order, she stood and grabbed Jack's hand. Let's go over to our place. I have dessert. Jack smiled, the glint in his eye telling Lexi his idea of dessert probably consisted of more than the frosted brownies she'd left on her counter.
That's the best offer I've had all day, he said, as he followed her out the door.